This is Inside the Hall.
Double tight end, Francis right wing. The give comes to Cunningham. He hurdles up and in. Touchdown! They're banned. Schaefer Stadium explodes.
Inside the Hall. A look inside the pass.
Back to pass, looking for Francis. Nobody there. Now he shoots over the middle. He's up and touchdown. Darryl Stingley.
Present.
He's going to go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
And future of the New England Patriots.
With the 18th pick in the first round, the New England Patriots select.
Now, Inside the Hall with Brian Morey and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett.
Good evening and well afternoon or whatever this is. Welcome to Inside the Hall. I'm losing my voice a little bit today, Tip. It's good to see you. There you go.
We're out of town, huh?
Yeah, we're new at this.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
We're a little rusty. Welcome to Inside the Hall. Andre Tippett, Pro Football and Patriots Hall of Famer here. Dan's going to try to get Paul Perillo on the phone today from PFW.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He too is a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
So
he is. Recently.
You know, being inducted into the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I congratulated him and everything, and I tried to get him trying to get him ready for the experience because it's a wonderful experience. I told him no matter what Hall of Fame you get in, it's a special honor, and to be recognized in that fashion says a lot about who you are as a athlete and a competitor and a person.
You know, I told him the same thing because I played with Paul. I was a freshman. He was a senior captain. And, you know, we weren't very good, to say the least, as a team. I mean, we stunk. And when he told me that he got in, he was kind of embarrassed. Like, he felt like he didn't deserve to be in. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You get into a Hall of Fame, I don't care what it is. You should be proud of that. I mean,
absolutely.
Somebody thought you were worthy. And,
absolutely.
And it's not, I mean, so based on how, what our records were and whatnot, I mean, nobody has great claim to say I was this great Hall of Fame. But Paul was a two-year captain. Contributions to the program were great. Very worthy in my opinion. So
absolutely.
Congratulations to Paul Perillo. So maybe we'll get him on the horn after and have him talk.
I think they went to go do their television show.
Oh, they did?
Oh, okay.
He's such a media whore. He's always somewhere.
He's too good for us.
He's all unbelievable. Right.
But Paul, wherever you are, congratulations. You're the man.
That's right. So, Tip, we do this show with the Patriots playoff hopes kind of in the balance as we head down the stretch run, the final month of the NFL season. They've been in this boat before, although not recently. You know, they've pretty much been in control of the AFC East division for a number of years. They now sit a game behind the New York Jets at 7-5 after an ugly loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I guess from a player's standpoint now, you know, how do you recover from last week's game? I'm not a big believer in carryover from week to week. I think that guys get enough experience putting games behind them to just move on. I remember Brian Cox talking about that, you know, saying one game has nothing to do with the next, yada, yada. What's your perspective on that?
Similar. I mean, I've always been under the mind and been coached this way that, you know, when you start the season, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So, or it's a 16-round championship fight. You take each game as a round. You gather the information. Did you win? Did you lose? How many points did you score? And you really treat it that way. You have to have short-term memory when you're playing during the season because, you know, if you hold on to that, you know, that feeling of what you could have done, how do we let that game get away from us? And if you hold on to that going into the next week, all it does is going to cloud your thinking and take away from your preparation for the next and upcoming game. The one thing I have to say about players, they all have had that and shown that ability to do that. And that's what you have to do to play consistently and to be in the league for a long time. You have to just let it go and prepare and get ready. And that's the nice thing about football. You get to play one more time. And
every team in this league has its flaws, has its nicks and bumps and bruises this time of year. The Giants right now have looked consistently like the best team in football, although we saw what that means last February when the Patriots, who had looked like the best team in football,
absolutely
did not win in February or January, whenever that game was. and amazingly to me in that game, you know, it was the offense that was held down despite having the weapons and the explosion that it showed all season long. The defense this year, and arguably last year, had some flaws that were covered up by the highest scoring offense in NFL history. This year, with the offense not scoring at that rate, the defensive flaws have been more obvious, particularly in the secondary. And I know it's team defense, and I know Bill Belichick would sit here and tell you that it's a combination. It's obviously the pass rush and getting the ball out quickly and disrupting timing. But it's got to be frustrating for the guys up front. Now, you're a linebacker. You know, the red zone defense has been terrible, Tip, mostly because they have not been able to stop anybody from throwing the football into the end zone or anywhere else on the field, for that matter. How frustrating is that to maintain that togetherness on defense? There must be some frustration from a guy, say, like Vince Wilfork or somebody up front that says, oh, man, you know, we were right there. The ball came out, but they made the play again.
Well, again, you know, as a former player and who's been in positions like that time and time again, you really don't take the time, or you don't have the time or energy to kind of point fingers at any particular area or any particular person if you're to have success. And, mm-hmm. you know, and regardless of some of the flaws that you may see or things that may appear to be the reason why, we don't know because we're not really there. But I think, again, if you sort of pick up the load, and we used to always say that, somebody's got to pick up the load, okay? We know that we may lack a good pass rusher. We may lack the ability to stop the run, or we may lack the ability to cover third down and long defenses, and you know, any of those scenarios. And but what we have to believe, and this is where, you know, I say, you know, football players, you know, from a mental standpoint, are the greatest and the toughest guys that are playing sports, because you have that innate ability to just say, hey, look, we're going to overlook whatever we may lack. And if we all play together, if we're all at least on the same page and giving the same type of effort, we can overcome some of those things. And there are going to be some weeks where you don't, and then there are going to be weeks that you're going to just look at the team. And we've looked at the team in both ways where you just say, wow. You know, what a great effort. What a great effort by the offense. What a great effort by the defense. And that's what you do. That's what football players do. They say, you know what? You got to pick up the slack. We need help from here. We need us as a linebacker group, or we need us as a defensive line to find it in our way to get to the quarterback, or stop the run, or play this particular play that they consistently have had success with against us. So it's tough. This is a new chapter for the Patriots. Every year is a different year. I mean, you look at the team over the years that they've had so much success. It's never been the same way that they've won. It's always mm-hmm. something different, and that's the way football is. It gives you a whole new set of opportunities and a whole new set of things that you're going to see and try to figure out. And that's the nice thing about this game. You do write a book until the day that you retire. And at the end of it, and you look back on the book and you're like, wow, what an amazing career. Or, wow, I can't believe I had to suffer through that for all these years. So, you know, you hear the same story all the time. For the guys that have won world championships, there are that many, if not more, guys that have never seen a playoff or never been to a Super Bowl championship. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I after about 10 years here, I certainly, in most of Belichick's tenure here, I certainly am drinking the Kool-Aid as far as accepting the cliche of one game at a time as a reality. Right. Like, I mean, I know as a fan, fans love to look ahead and project and say they're going to do this one and the schedule's easy and this means this, yada, yada, yada. Whereas, you know, my buddy called me the other day and, yeah, I get pissed off during the games. I mean, I'm frustrated when the other team converts on 3rd and 15. I want to throw something at the TV. But after the game, you move on. And my buddy called me that night. He was all bent out of shape. I said, I'm on to Seattle. Because you can't do anything.
Well, and that's the thing that I'm, you know, my point exactly is fans can afford to do that. You and I can afford to do that now that because we're on the outside watching it, we get to sit up in the press box or in the seat somewhere and watch the game and sort of play second guesser or, you know, hindsight. We're the hindsight, you know, what if, you know?
Sure.
And, but as a team, as a coach, as you prepare the guys for the season, that's a mentality that you can't afford, or that's the luxury that you can't afford to have, to second guess or to not have that mentality of we got to take one game at a time, or it's a 16 round championship fight. That 14th round or that 13th round is that 10th round or 11th round is over with. Now we got to go on to the 12th round and we got to gather ourselves. We got to make sure that, you know, we're ready to go back out because we're going to go and we got to throw everything that we got at these people that we're getting ready to take on. So that's the way it's been. I mean, I 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, 12 years of professional football. That's the only way that I know. And even as a little Pop Warner football coach, I do the same thing with these young kids that I'm coaching is, you know what? Forget about what happened last week. We're getting ready for these guys. And I teach my guys the same mentality is, you know what? Whatever good we had, that was great. Whatever bad we had, let's learn from it. But now we got to get ready for this team that's coming in. Now, here's what they do good. Let's see if we can stop them. Let's go out and compete, give 100%, play hard.
Yeah, and even as a fan, I mean, maybe it's because I've been close to this and watched, you know, the way they do things around here. But I just look at it and say, I feel like I've learned from 2001 when they were 5-5 and ran the table and won a Super Bowl, or, you know, suffered all kinds of injuries at one point in 2003 and battled back and continued to win every week and find a way. I just look at it like, hey, you're at your three-quarter pole here. It's the stretch run.
Right.
You got four games to go. You win them all, you're 11-5. But you can only win one.
That's
you
right.
can't win four this week.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
So what good does it do to look past? And, you know, you go back to 2001, Tip, and it took a miracle down the stretch for the Patriots to get a bye in the playoffs. And you could argue that that's why they made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I remember Fred Kirsch sitting on the plane coming home from Carolina. He had spelled it all out. This is the way it's going to happen. The Patriots are going to get a bye. And we laughed at him. We literally laughed at him. Like, Fred, there's no way that Buffalo is going to lose this game at home to this team and that this is going to happen and the Jets are going to go to Oakland and win. And we were on the plane coming home from the last game in Carolina. And Fred, Roger Holman from WBCN had a little TV watching the Jets-Raiders game. And he said, it's over. The Raiders won, which means the Patriots were going to have to play a wild card game, I believe, against Baltimore the following week.
I remember that game.
Fred goes like this. Nope. Nope. That's not the way it was written. It can't be. And then literally 2 minutes later, Roger goes, oh, no, wait. It's not over. John Hall's lining up to kick a 53-yard field goal. And then Charlie Weiss is up in the aisle, and the field goal's good. Jets win. Patriots get a bye. The whole plane erupts in a cheer. It was actually surreal.
Yeah.
As a fan, you know, I mean, yeah, I was covering the team, but I work here, and I, you know, I have an emotional interest in the success and failure of the team. And I was sitting on the plane, and that was very surreal to be in that environment. And all the players, and, you know, I'm on the team plane. I don't see the players practically. They're way back in the back of the plane doing their thing. I do, you know, we do our thing in the front of the plane. But that was awesome to see these players and the coaches all, yeah, at the same time. It was great. And so you just never know. So to sit here and say, oh, I can't believe they lost to Pittsburgh. They're out of it. They're not going to make the play. I mean, it's like stupid. It's senseless. Just enjoy it week to week.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
And that's what it is. That's what it's truly all about. And, you know, you can't describe it any better than that. It is truly about believing and having faith in the team and having faith as a group. That's why we love football so much, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's out there for you. And you just got to, you know, you gotta believe. And that truly is the uniqueness of football, regardless of what level that you're playing on. If you believe, if you play as one, and we always talk about the three-thirds, offense, defense, special teams. Coaches can do so much during the week as far as preparing you, but it's on Sunday. It's what you collectively feel and believe in and know that if you play hard as a group, that anything is possible.
You're listening to Inside the Hall with Andre Tippett and Brian Morey. That's Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Tippett. Tip, when you look at the Steelers game and how it sort of unraveled, do you almost have to just forget about it? I mean, obviously you want to learn from your mistakes, but when you're turning the ball over inside your own territory throughout the second half and giving them, I won't even call them short fields, extremely short fields, I mean, do you just have to say, okay, let's just forget that? You know, I mean, I compare it to the Steelers game a few years ago where they got killed out there in 04 to break the 21-game winning streak,
right.
Ended up going back to Pittsburgh to win the AFC Championship
right.
That year. I mean, is it one of those types of situations you think you just forget about it?
Yeah. I mean, it's every week, you know, as you watch the tape on Monday, as the guys come in on Tuesday to do a little prep work, and as you have your team meeting on Wednesday, and you look in your playbook, and you look up on the walls that are in the defensive rooms and the offensive rooms, and what do they say? Prevent the turnovers. Prevent giving the team a short field. Turnovers lose games. They know that. It's been breaded in every player that's in this building. I can recite almost half of the stuff because I remember it as a player. And it's a known fact. And there have been times that we've done all of those things and still won. So it is that it's part of the fabric of football.
How many times do you look at turnovers as a player and say, oh, boy, well, that was just a great play by them? And how many do you look at and say, do you always look at it as a player when your team turns the ball over and say, we made a mistake? Or do you look at it and say, like, maybe it's an interception where the guy just made a ridiculous break? I don't know. I mean, how do you look at it as you're a defensive guy, so you always thought it was a great play.
Oh, yeah. No. You know what? You have to be, I won't say the word is smart enough, but you have to be man enough at a lot of times to say, hey, you know what? That was great defense by that cornerback. Oh, that was a hell of a pass rush and sack and strip sack by that defensive player. Well, that was a great block on that sweep or that quick screen that they ran against us. You have to know that. But as players, again, if you are prone to putting the ball on the ground, you're reminded constantly, protect that ball. You do drills during the week to protect that ball, to remind you. When you're in a pile, don't try to do more than you can. Know when your journey is over. When you reach that pile of people, protect that ball as a tackle or a guard. You know that against this particular player, you need to be able to do this, 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 and that. There are constantly reminders. There's constantly drills that you do just to get you ready for those particular situations. And you know what? They win some, we lose some. And you just got to say, hey, let's try to win more than they do.
Inside the Hall, Andre Tippett, Brian Morey. I want to change the subject a little bit here, Tip. This Saturday, here at Gillette Stadium, the MIAA Eastern Massachusetts Super Bowls will take place. We'll have about probably close to 20,000 or more people on hand to watch those games. You know, being involved in youth football and amateur football as you are, how exciting is it to have that event here?
I think this is one of the greatest things we can do as the Kraft family, as the Patriot organization, as the hall at Patriot Place, as the community outreach that we do. This is one of the greatest things that we can do, these guys. We tell our young players to dream, dream big, set goals. And, you know, we talk about those things, and you don't realize how much people really listen. You don't realize how many people look for the opportunity to get better, to have different opportunities. And this is one of those lifetime opportunities that a lot of these young guys are going to remember the rest of their lives. A lot of them may not even go on to college and play football anymore. This is going to be the end for a lot of guys. You know, yeah, a lot of them are going to go on to college and get an education and everything, but from a athletic standpoint of continuing their career, a lot of them are going to be done. And they are going to remember the experience of being out there in Gillette Stadium. We take it for granted. You and I, we walk out there all the time. We're out there game day. We are out there during the week with different tours, taking people around, showing them the place. We live here. We you know, it's part of us. This is family to us. But there are people out there that have never had that opportunity, probably been here a few games, but to put cleats on, go out and compete, this is going to be the memory of a lifetime for a lot of these guys, and they will constantly remember this. I tell people, though I've been fortunate to play college football, then played pro ball for a long time, I still to this day can remember my senior year playing at the Meadowlands against Westfield High School, Group 2 Section 4 State Championship game. Playing at the Meadowlands, and we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. None of us coming from the city of Newark had money to buy turf shoes. The Giants, and I remember like it was yesterday, the Giants equipment guy let us go in, try on turf shoes, allowed us to have shoes to play and compete in that game. And to this day, I remember it, and people back in Jersey talk about, wow, what a great opportunity. Guys had 42,000 people there watching the biggest high school game in the history of New Jersey at that time. I think it may still stand as far as the numbers of people that showed up. But it was the experience of playing on a professional football field. None of us knew what was planned ahead of us. Sure. We didn't know where we were going to be going from there. But we did know that day that we were playing on a field. And these young guys this weekend are going to have the experience of a lifetime. This is going to be a dream come true for them. This is going to be that, you know, how many times they, you know, pretended to be Brady in the pocket dropping back, or pretended to be Teddy Bruschi rushing the quarterback or dropping to get an interception and take that interception back into the end zone and then, you know, do a belly flop in the end zone. So all of this stuff is going to be happening for these young guys, and I am so happy for them. You know, we used to do the MIA Super Bowl games back in the old stadium, and we literally used to have an early morning practice, and around noontime they'd all start coming in, and we'd all watch high schools like Brockton, Walpole at the time, and we would watch these guys. I love high school football, but as I say, this is a wonderful thing, a wonderful opportunity that the Kraft and the Patriot organization has given these young men, and they're going to cherish this as a lifetime.
Well, it's funny to hear you talk about the opportunity for these people to play on the field. And you know, we've brought a lot of school groups into the hall at Patriot Place. And when we can, when the field is accessible, we try to include a trip into the stadium. You know, we don't go on the playing surface now. That's restricted, but we take them up the side of the field on kind of where the Patriots bench area is. And, I mean, we get letters back from all the school groups and the kids, and they all mention going into the stadium. and getting that opportunity. And they're not even playing on it. You're talking about young kids, some Pop Warner kids who come in their jersey and whatnot.
Absolutely.
That are really fired up. It's funny because Paul Carroll, who's our education coordinator at the Hall, is an assistant coach at BC High. His team plays tonight in the semifinals up in Lynn against Everett. And, you know, he's talked about playing here all year. Well, his team came in to visit the Hall, and we took him up to the gate and said, if you guys want to get on the field, you got to earn it.
That's right.
No free trips for you.
That's right. You're
too close.
That's right.
So, and they all were like, yeah, you know, that fired him up a little bit.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
So, I mean, I can relate. I think that for these guys to be able to come here this weekend and experience, you know, playing on the field where their quote-unquote heroes play.
Absolutely.
You know, it has to be special. And, I applaud the Kraft family. And also, if I can plug the Hall here, the winners of Saturday's games and of all these state championship games around New England will have their jerseys posted in the Hall on our Wall of Champions. There's 47 jerseys hanging there right now representing all of the 2007 champions. Those jerseys will be replaced, or in some cases, maybe some jerseys will remain. They'll be replaced with all the 2008 champions. So that's a pretty special honor. And again, I think it shows you the way the Crafts think about the football community in general outside of the Patriots. To include something like that in the Hall of Fame and Museum was just a great idea to reach out to the football community and include those championship teams. And I think it's something that we can expand upon. I've been talking to or I've spoken with Sandy Ruggles, who is the president of the Massachusetts Football Coaches Association. And he's talked about trying to get their Hall of Fame incorporated into our venue, and I think it's something that warrants a lot of discussion, even just beyond the Mass Coaches Association, into a New England football
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame.
Colleges, small colleges, big colleges that are here.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I mean, it can go way beyond, and we can really tie in football. And I've always thought, you know, since last year, with the Super Bowls being here at Gillette Stadium, with the opening of the Hall and the New England football exhibit, that we can really sort of make this the mecca of football in New England and maybe expand upon the high school games that are played here, maybe do a little bit more of that, maybe with some small colleges. You know, I know you have to get into some of the other details like cost of opening the stadium and all of the details that go into that. And I'm sure doing it for the Super Bowls is as much community outreach, where I don't know that the Crafts make money hosting that event here. I'm guessing it costs them money to have the event here, but that's not what it's about for them. But to do it continually or on a more regular basis might not be feasible. So it really is just part of their philanthropic efforts to host those games and really establish a great relationship with the local football community.
Absolutely. I think that all of the things that you hit on are all part of the vision that the Kraft family, I know Robert has often talked about ways of expanding and reaching out. And this is really one of those. And I think to sort of have in-house, along with the Patriot Hall of Fame surroundings and settings, it would be awesome. I mean, again, it would give these kids and young high school, young college football players really a place to leave their legacy and to have something to share with the family and say, hey, you know, our jerseys were up here in 2007 or 2008. Oh, you know what? On the third floor, they've set aside a New England Hall of Fame area. So if you want to see my photo or read about some of the facts behind my induction, it's all part of the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. And it's just another one of those things that you make everyone feel part of the ownership, and it's nothing like taking ownership on something or feeling truly part of something. It's a wonderful feeling, and to do that, it would really set us apart from people around the leagues.
And you know what? And the great thing is, Andre, is that with you know, the technology that the Crafts insisted upon be used in that venue, that you could really incorporate a Hall of Fame and have it be more or less electronic. I mean, you could have it, you know, the hall is filled with touchscreen kiosks. Mm-hmm. And you, I mean, the Patriots Hall of Fame are on
awesome.
Kiosks, yeah. And the pylons, obviously.
Beautiful.
But you could do it in a kiosk. You could do it with names on a wall. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything that, you know, is extravagant. Just something that where people can come in and say, hey, I'm in the New England Football Hall of Fame. Touch here. Boom, find your name. Now you got your picture, your bio. I mean, it really could be special. And I think it's just one of those things where as the hall, you know, as we get our legs under us, so to speak, we've only been open for a couple months here, and move forward, we're always going to be looking to kind of stay fresh, to expand, to do different things and involve the community, be interactive with fans of not just the Patriots, but football in general. And I think it's a way looking ahead to try to do something like that.
Right.
And then you can work with all the state athletic associations and coaches associations, not just Massachusetts.
Right.
So
we're the New England, so we represent the six New England states.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right. We're not the Bay State Patriots.
That's right.
Boston Patriots. And by the way, just on another note, everyone who comes to the Super Bowls at Gillette Stadium this weekend, with your MIAA Super Bowl game ticket, you get a $3 discount to get into the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
You have to take advantage of that. It's if you guys have not been inside of the hall at Patriot Place, you have to do it. It's a wonderful treat. I take it for granted because I'm here. I've been part of the reintroduction, reinduction in August, and it was pretty good. Actually, September, and it was probably the coolest thing. And also, I get to take our Coach of the Week winners in there with the head coach and the players and their captains and their AD. And everyone to a man has all said, man, what an unbelievable trip that was. We had no idea you were going to be doing that. And I sort of surprised them and spring it on them at the last minute. And it just goes to show our appreciation. One, for the fact that we're honoring these particular coaches and the captains for doing a great job. But we also want to give them and show them what else we have out here. A lot of people didn't realize we have it out here. And now that, you know, I've taken 10 coaches, 9 coaches. I got 2 coaches, 1 coach tomorrow, and then our Coach of the Year next week. But just word alone from those 9 coaches already, the word has spread on what a wonderful treat it is to go up inside of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I've seen you bring some of the coaches over, and I said this all along when the hall was being built, that I think people hear about, oh, yeah, the Patriots are building a museum as part of this Patriot Place. But I said I don't think people realize exactly what it is. And when I'm over there and interacting with the guests that come into the building, I mean, I really want to know what you didn't like.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, I don't. If we're going to continue to improve and get responses from the people that come in, you know, you don't need smoke blowing up your keister.
No.
You know, you want to know, hey, where can we improve?
Right.
And it's hard to get people to tell you. I mean, they love it.
They love it. They love what they see. Each floor has something different than the other, and it can overwhelm you at times when you first walk in there. I've told people, I say, you know, you have to come in 2 or 3 times to see things, because even that once around on each level, you're going to miss so many things. And, you know, there are things that I've missed. People have asked me, did you see such and such? I'm like, no, I didn't know that was there. So, oh, yeah. And I've gone back on the 3rd floor and look, and I'm like, wow, I didn't see that there. So it really is a unique and a very, very nice experience that you all should you should give yourself. And
you know, I mean, I love it when the players come in and experience it and enjoy it. And that means past and present. You know, Gino Cappelletti came in on Monday with 5 members of his family. And Gino was here all during induction weekend, but didn't get to see the venue.
No.
And he went up into the building blocks exhibit, and his MVP plaque is up there. And, you know, you got the original helmet there and uniform and whatnot. And there's, you know, a few references to Gino in the videos and whatnot. And I think, you know, I was kind of standing there with him, and I think he felt pretty proud at that moment. And for me, you know, you talk about taking things for granted, and you know, listen, I've been in the lock. People always say, oh, you come to the team. Oh, so you know the player. Yeah, they're just guys. You know, you look at them, and they are. And then, you know, I don't look at Tom Brady as any different than me. However, it's funny because a lot of times when you see people that you watch growing up as a kid, no offense, that means more to me than guys that play today. You know, like guys that I watched when I was a kid that were my heroes. It's like, hey, there's Fred Lynn, you know, talking baseball. I'm like, I love Fred Lynn, you know. Oh, who cares about, you know, Curt Schilling? It's Fred Lynn.
Right, absolutely.
But so I just, standing there next to Gino and guys like you, I think you have to appreciate the moment. It's what I always tell fans about this team right now. Listen, don't be a 49er fan that 10 years from now says, oh, man, remember when Joe Montana was here, how good we were? Feel that way now.
Absolutely.
And enjoy. So that's how kind of I've been when guys come in. And that whole weekend, induction weekend, was like that. I mean, just meeting Nick Bonaconte and Babe Parilli. And, you know, I never saw those guys play here. But knowing what I know and reading stuff, it's just they paved the way. And that, I don't know, I just, it's you hold those guys in awe to a certain degree,
right,
because of their contributions.
Well, you know, it goes back to what we're saying regarding the whole inclusiveness that we're trying to put together with the New England area. You have a chance to see the legacy of some of the greatest people that that played for the team. Now,
sure,
you always throw it out there that, granted, you know, some of these teams were real good but didn't get a chance to win championships. But then here's an opportunity now to really look at the individual and look at the legacy that was created by that person. And really, if you are the true Patriot fan and the true follower of the team, you'll be able to appreciate Babe Parilli, Gino Cappelletti, John Hanna, Bruce Armstrong, Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, when those guys' playing days are over. So you'll be able to see the whole gambit of guys that were here. Drew Bledsoe, Willie McGinnis, who's no longer here, Chris Slade, you know, all of those guys that have all, they have something that's up there, and you go in there and you see that and you really can appreciate it. And then if you're really into it, you can really look back and say, wow, I can remember. Or I remember hearing my dad talk about Gino Cappelletti. Or I can remember as a kid, my dad took me to the game and I saw Drew Bledsoe. Or I can remember when the duck boat took off in Boston.
Yeah.
Wow, we got the duck boat up in here. So it's so much to be proud of. And, you know, it's what this great country is made of. It's what this country is all about. You know, we all forget sometimes to say God bless America. And this is one of those opportunities that, you know, from a fan standpoint, hey, God bless the Patriots and the fact that we were fortunate to keep them around and not let them get out of town. And they, in the beginning, things were not good. And here it is now, I don't know how many years later. 40 some odd years later.
49, I think.
Almost going on 50 years. We have something truly to be happy, proud, and blessed for. So.
Well, and I want to try to piss off or irritate the superstitious fans out there. After the win in Miami, in which Matt Cassel became the first Patriots quarterback in team history to throw for 400 yards in consecutive games, we got his game jersey. We got the game. We put it on display.
Absolutely.
And then he went out and threw a couple picks, fumbled a couple times. So it's not our fault. We did take his game jersey.
Yep,
had to wear a new one Sunday.
Absolutely.
But that had nothing to do with the performance.
No.
But, you know, I mean, and even there's been some active players in there that have come in. Ellis Hobbs was in last week. Lawrence Maroney came in. And we had a school group in tip, and Lawrence was great. Now, he's on IR, so he's got probably a little more free time than the rest of the fellows. But he was in the hall, and the school group was in. They recognized him because he does the vertical leap exhibit, and he's pictures right there, larger than life. And he signed autographs for everybody.
Right.
It was great. And so, you know, I think that being the hall being where it is, you know, I think, you know, you might, I mean, the chances of running into a player in there might not be great, but you could. Right. I mean, or run into Andre Tippett or Gino Cappelletti or Robert Kraft.
Yep. We're in there all the time. So.
And I think that can add to it. You know, we had a group come in one day and a bunch of fans in. They film, Kraft Sports Productions films Totally Patriots in there. And Bill Belichick was a guest on the show. So, yeah, these fans that just happened to come to the hall that day, and boom, there's Bill Belichick. And they're sitting listening to and watching the taping of the show and watching Bill interact with some high school kids. And I think that was a thrill for these people. So, you know, being part of the Kraft organization gives the hall a unique element that a lot of halls of fames or museums don't have. You know, being located where we are, where, you know, Robert or Jonathan will bring some dignitaries by from time to time. You might run into, you know, Roger Goodell or Mike Haynes or, you know, whoever from the league. I mean, it really, John Hanna's over right. there. You're, I mean, it's just, it really is a unique experience, I think, for fans. And the challenge for us, Tip, is going to be keeping it that way.
Right.
And, you know, I think for local people, it'll be a natural place to bring out-of-town guests and people like that. But I think the challenge is always for us to keep people wanting to come back over and over and over again.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we gotta figure out a way. You know, I can remember when I first got here to New England, and, you know, family and friends would come and visit me, and they say, hey, you got to take us around the area and show us what the sights are. And I can remember one of the sites being, I got to take you to Faneuil Hall. Faneuil
sure.
Hall is this awesome place. I said, then I got to take you to the garden. And I'm like, wow. I said, then I got to take you to the North Shore. Then I got to take you to the Tape, to the Cape. And then if we still have time and we got a little time to play with, maybe we'll take a ferry and we'll go to the Vineyard or we'll go to Nantucket. And you got to really see what New England has to offer. I said, it took me a long time to figure out all the nice things that we had to offer. So what we have to do, and we, in a lot of ways we do, people, I know a lot of friends, hey, I want to come out to the stadium and see the stadium. Can you take me around? Well, we got to have people when they come in to visit the New England area, they say, hey, you know what? We got to go to the Gillette Stadium. I hear they have an outstanding museum there. Well, I think that's starting to happen. I think along with the museum and Patriot Place. Patriot Place is really taking off. I hear people talking about it all the time. I hear people from out of town call me and say, hey, man, I was on the website and I saw this Patriot. What is this Patriot Place that you guys put? You guys got a hotel there? People that used to work here a long time ago. And they're like, I can't. I said, yeah, absolutely, man. I said, when you come back to town this summer, you got to come out here and see what this place is. I said, you may get lost or you may drive by because you won't recognize it right away. I say, but we truly have created a great destination here, and as I used to tell people, I got to take you to Faneuil. Now they're going to be saying, "Hey, I got to take you to Gillette Stadium and Patriot Place. You got to see this place."
No question, and you know it's funny because we talk about living here and taking it for granted and working here and whatnot. Well, one of your former teammates was here for a game this season, Craig James, and had not been back since his playing days. I was shocked to hear that. This guy who, you know, I've seen him at games. I mean, he, you know, obviously he covers college football a lot more than the NFL. But I was shocked that he had never been back. And you know, the difference between even when I started working here in 1997 when you had the harness racing track and you had dirt parking lots. I mean, that's you think
right.
about that. That's
yeah.
that's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't even recognize this place. I had a guy in the hall the other day that lives in down south somewhere. Where the heck does he live? Oh, North Carolina. And he's from up here. He's in the military. And he said, I can't believe this.
Right.
He goes, when I left here, this was just some dirt parking lots and a crappy stadium.
And
you walk through Patriot Place, you don't even know you're on Route 1. So it really is amazing. It has come a long way. And when Craig James was in the hall along with Stuart Scott from ESPN, you know, their reaction, and then Tim Graham from ESPN.com came through, and he wrote something on ESPN.com about it. And to see their reactions to it, I think when I'm with them, it makes me appreciate, boy, this place really is pretty good.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're part of it, you just think, you see all the flaws.
Yeah.
I go in there every day. I'm like, oh, what the hell's wrong with this? Why is this not, you know, these guys, they come through and they're like, wow, this is awesome. And I think that's the way the fans go through, too. So that's why I want fans to come back a second time. Maybe they'll see the flaws the second time and tell us about them. Yeah. so we can improve upon them. But hopefully we know what they are by now. But
right.
It really is awesome. And you know, one thing I'd like to add going forward is something that is really sort of current, is maybe something electronic or interactive that keeps you up to date on the current season in terms of game previews. You know, we have all these resources in the building with media relations and all the publications they produce and all the transcripts and everything. You could essentially have a game preview station as part of the visit every week. So, hey, this week it's Seattle.
Right.
All that material that's produced by Stacey James, Casey O'Connell, Jeff Kanoyer up there, and their staff, I mean, all right there at the fingertips for people to see.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you might be able to get it online too, but you know, it could be a unique element for visitors to the hall to come in and see that as well. And maybe it's a running historical chronology of the current season. So
right.
There's a lot of things we can do, and it's exciting. And I think, you know, the crafts are so innovative and willing to commit to good ideas that if you have one, you can rest assured that it's going to get executed.
Sounds like a plan. I think we will. I think we're really close to getting it to the place where we want. I just hope they don't build anything else and we don't do anything else, because you can't, you know, you never know. But it really is unique. And I mean, the
wait for the economy to
whole evolve. Concept one was, we're going to build a new stadium. I'm like, wow, we're going to what? And then after you build a new stadium, and then you're like, they're going to build a mall. I'm like, no way. You build a mall, and you're just like, wow, has this thing been made to be very convenient for us? I mean, I know for me, I live next town over, so I kind of went into town a couple of weeks ago just because we wanted to do something different. My wife and I were celebrating our wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
But other than that, we would have went local and went to Davio's or Skipjack's or CBS Scene or Tastings. And it's like, I don't have to fight for traffic, parking spots now. And I'm just like, boom, I'm there. And it truly has been a place to be proud of and be part of something that's great.
Switching back to football for a second, as we wind down here, I only got a few minutes left. You know, I think when people look at the schedule and look at teams' records, they say, oh, you know, they try to pencil wins into the scoring column. Seattle has struggled this year. Oakland has struggled this year at times. Those are the next two opponents for the Patriots, yet both on the road across the country, West Coast, teams staying out there as it did earlier in the season when it played San Francisco and San Diego back-to-back. How difficult is it for those long road trips? I think up until last weekend, West Coast teams coming east this year were 0-15. Somebody won. San Francisco beat Buffalo this week.
Buffalo, yeah.
But 0-15 coming across the country in this direction. How difficult is it to make those road trips? And I guess talk about the logistics as a player maybe of staying out there. I don't know if you ever did that.
Yeah, no, Raymond Berry was famous for it. I mean, he'd always say, if it's going to help us win, then this is what we're going to do. I think the first time this year that we went out there and we had the success and the logistics and everything was taken care of, the players were on top of their game and understanding their responsibility out there. Look, we're out there on a business trip. I believe that it's going to go well for them. I think, you know, just like anything else, you know, you got to be careful with a trap. You know, it's a trap game. Don't get out there and, you know, and forget what the real reasons why you're out there. I don't think they will, but it's always that thought in the back of your head. I think that the way it's set up, that it's exactly what you should do. You give yourself an opportunity. You don't put too much stress on your team. You don't ask them to do the impossible, which would be normally to fly, come back, fly again, where, you know, it's a distraction. The way they're going to do it again, they had success from it. It was, as Bill likes to say, it was probably a very good operation. I think that in situations like that, it's awesome. I mean, you travel out there, you practice out there, you prepare, and you play. You don't have to put the stress of coming back through time zones to get back home and then turn around and try to do that again. It's hard on a team. Financially, you know, it's a demand, but I think that, you know, it's all part of doing business. But from a player standpoint, I think the players are very happy because they're the ones that are going to have to fly and be cramped up and be on a flight for 5 or 6 hours to head out there and then have to concern themselves, man, we're going to have to fly back then come back. But, you know, it's a little bit of outside-of-the-box type thinking. And I think, again, because of the success and the smooth operation that they had on the last West Coast trip, I think that they shouldn't have a problem. I think it's going to be to their advantage to do it the same way that they did it, and it should be good. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Seattle is a place that is one of the louder stadiums in the league. It's certainly a different venue than you would have played in. You would have played, what, the Kingdome, right?
Right, and that was loud, too.
So, I mean, is that – they just have good fans? I mean, is that one of the tougher places to play?
Yeah, I mean, they –
Obviously, when they're good, it's tougher.
When they're good, they're good. It's you know, just like anything else. If they're playing well, the support is strong, and they have an opportunity to get a game, the fans are going to come out in full support. And, you know, the way that you nullify all that is just you play hard and you don't give them the opportunity to have anything to cheer about. Easy said than done. But that's what that is. And there's nothing that you can do about the fan support. You know, they're going to be the way that they are. But you just play. The Seattle is been known for a loud dome and loud stadium for years. But yeah, but, you know, Bill's going to probably – miking some loud music out there while they're out there preparing. And
some Bon Jovi.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not like they won't be preparing themselves. That'll be just part of the par for course.
And a couple of Patriots offspring on the roster out in Seattle. Did you play with Don Hasselbeck? Was he gone?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
And you played with Mosey, obviously.
I played Mosey, yeah.
You see those guys around the locker room when you were a player?
I can remember when Lofa used to walk around the locker room and grab helmets and try to put them on. And the Hasselbeck boys, I can remember them. You know, they were really young at the time. Hass was here my rookie year, 82 to about 83, I believe, either 83, 84, and then he – left to go with the Raiders and then the Giants and then I can remember the boys being ball boys here, which was crazy. I used, you know, you watch them, you didn't pay much attention to them, but you know they had good arms, they could throw, and they would always, you know, be used as ball boys, and you'd laughing like, wow, I wonder why they're here for ball boys, because they were that extra quarterback that could throw to the receivers and get these guys prepped and ready for practice. So to see these guys, and you know, I tell my son met Lofa for the first time last year, and I said, you know, hey, you know, his dad and I played together, and he looked at me like, no. I'm like, yeah. I said, his father and I were teammates, and now you're meeting his son who's playing in the National Football League. How does that feel? And he was, it's funny now when he watch Seattle's play and he see Lofa out there, first thing he tells his boys is like, I know him, I met him, he's a nice guy, you know, he's a good football player too, you know. So,
and he took sort of an unconventional route to the NFL. I mean, usually you don't see guys transfer from one double A to one of the best programs in the country. Usually you get if you get transfer situations, it's from Division One to one double A.
Yeah.
He went from Maine to USC and then starred at USC.
Yeah, isn't that something? It just goes to show, though. I mean, he as we like to say, he comes from a little pedigree, and he obviously thought that his level of play, he wouldn't deter him from making a squad at USC. And you look at what he did. He went to USC and starred and played well and was drafted high. So obviously he had the confidence, and you know, obviously, you know, coming, you know, from the pedigree of Mosi Tatupu, that, you know, he had greatness in his sight. So it's awesome seeing him out there playing.
Well, Tip, that's going to do it for us on this Tuesday afternoon. It's Inside the Hall. Andre Tippett, Brian Morey, we're here Tuesdays from 4 until 5. Until next Tuesday, thanks for listening.
Thank you.